Hey there, everybody. Thanks for showing up. I'm Jennifer Hadley. I'm so excited to have this call today. And so the purpose of our call today is to share about the spiritual counseling training program and the intensive in particular. We have some intensives coming up, and I'll share about those. And very importantly, we have some wonderful people who have been to the intensive in the past, and in fact, recently in May, so they're fresh out of that experience, and they can share and answer questions. And I'm going to ask a bunch of questions, too, to help fill out the call, and I know that many people will be listening on the download later, probably more than will actually show up today. So I'm going to start us off with a prayer here, as I always do. And let's just take that breath together, that breath of love and gratitude, and remember how grateful we are that love is all that there is. Love is all that we are. That we're already as holy can be. We're already perfect. So we're gathered together to remember that perfection. We're gathered together to open ourselves to insight, expansion, and clarity, true inspiration about living a spiritual calling. We're grateful and thankful to open ourselves to hear those who share and to hear the clear message of spirit through their voice. We are grateful to join together to celebrate our own expansion and the expansion of others. We're grateful and thankful to choose to consciously be truly helpful in this world. In gratitude, I declare that this call is abundantly blessed. And we're grateful to share those blessings with everyone because we're one with them. In gratitude, we accept the blessings. We allow them to be. And so they are. So it is. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So I'm going to just let you know, if you're listening online, you can type in questions in the box there, and if you are on the phone, you can press star 2. So what we're going to be talking about is the Spiritual Counseling Training Program and the Spiritual Counseling Training Intensives. So, and I see here that we have Rosalind's asked the question, what's the difference between spiritual counseling and psychological counseling? She's a retired psychotherapist. She says, I understand that one deals with the illusory world and thoughts and emotions, and the other deals with the invisible powers. But I'm interested in your talking about the differences in techniques. Both require listening with a third ear and compassion, and the clinicians removing for the moment their own issues. Many thanks. It's a great question, Rosalind, and here is a, all right, so the difference in my experience is this, because I've been to psychologists, psychotherapists, and I have been to a spiritual counselor, and I've been a spiritual counselor since 2000. So, one thing that psychologists can do, not all, but one thing that can happen in the psychological approach is there can be a lot of focus on the past. And so there can be excavation. How did we get here? And who is responsible for this? So looking, who gave me these thoughts, these ideas, these patterns, these beliefs? Where did they come from? How long have I had them? There can be a lot of attention on excavating the past. And not that that doesn't have value, but in spiritual counseling, we don't need to look at that. Most of the time, we don't need to look at that. If it needs to come up for healing, it will present itself. So if we go into a spiritual counseling session with strong intention, then that which needs to be covered will be covered. That which needs to be discussed in order for the healing to happen will be discussed. And so what is more of the focus in spiritual counseling is, where would you like to go? Or how would you like to be in your life? How would you like to feel in your life? What are the results that you'd like to have? And let's see how to support you in experiencing that, being that, having that. So we don't have to look at the past necessarily, although sometimes it's helpful. We don't have to do that excavation work, which can be a huge relief. I've seen many, many, many times a person in a single session let go of decades of holding on in attachment to false beliefs and false perceptions because we came together in a spiritual counseling session. We were the two or more who were gathered in the name of love, in the name of healing, in the name of clarity and expansion. And because of that high intention, because of the prayerful field that we created together, the past was let go of, and hugely let go of. I've seen people have miraculous healings over and over and over again, where huge burdens were let go.
Now,
I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, but when Jesus was walking the earth and people were having amazing healings, miraculous healings around him, they would say to him, "Thank you for my healing, Jesus." And he would say to them back, "Why thank me? Your faith is what made you whole. Your faith is what made you whole." So joining together with Jesus in faith, they were able to have a spontaneous and miraculous and lasting healing. And I believe that that's what can happen and does happen. I've seen it happen many times, not just once or twice. I've seen it happen many times that people have that in spiritual counseling. And so the number one thing is the belief that the client brings that some healing can happen. And so one of the things about people who come to work with the spiritual counselor is I find that there's a much higher degree of belief that healing can happen and that something can shift and change. And I believe, based on my experience, though I have no research to back this up, I believe that more people have a belief or a faith that they can have extraordinary or miraculous healing in a session with a spiritual counselor than they do with a psychiatrist, or psychotherapist. So that contributes hugely, the person's belief. Because what are we doing? We're looking to release the false beliefs and to open the mind to the truth. It's the revelation of truth. It's the willingness to accept the truth, to know the truth, to live the truth that is the healing. And it's the letting go of the false belief that is the healing. And so there is much more faith that that can happen in a spiritual counseling session, in my experience, than in other kinds of therapeutic situations. People believe the possibility of a miracle. So that's a great question. And so any other questions that you have about spiritual counseling, about the spiritual counseling training and the intensive? So I'd like to focus on the questions and insights about the training and the intensive itself. So we've got a bunch of people on the line who have been to the training, and I wonder if any of them would like to share. I'm going to ask a typical question, which is, when you went to the training, did you know you wanted to be a spiritual counselor? Oh, Allison's got a question. Great. Allison, I'm going to unmute you here. Hey there.
Hi. Yes.
Hey.
Can you hear me? Hey, I'm good. Thanks for taking my call. I feel like I'm on the radio. yes, my question is, I'm interested in, and I have been, as you know, for a while in the spiritual counseling program. So mm-hmm. the initial thing, for example, the one in London, you take that, and when you say that you have been in Finding Freedom and then Masterful Living are the prerequisite, so to speak, for the counseling training.
Certification program.
Yes, thank you. Certification program. The Finding Freedom workbook, that needs to be complete?
Yes. For certification.
So, okay. Well, that's what I want. I mean, I want certification. So that's...
Yeah. So let me just explain a little bit here. Let me just explain it a little bit here to give everybody some context, Allison, because you may know a little bit more than other people. So the Spiritual Counseling Training Intensive is a week-long intensive training, just like it says. And in order to improve your spiritual counseling skills or develop your spiritual counseling skills. So we'll talk about that at length. The other thing is there's the Spiritual Counseling Certification Program. So at Power of Love Ministry, we are certifying people in spiritual counseling. What does that mean? And what is the program involved? So briefly, there are a few requirements. There is, as Allison mentioned, there's the Masterful Living year-long class. There's the Finding Freedom Boot Camp. Most people take the boot camp before Masterful Living, but it doesn't matter. And with both of those classes, there are workbooks. So, yes, completing all the workbooks. And then taking the intensive, the week-long intensive, and then there's also 111 practice sessions where you fill out an evaluation about yourself. And most people, their client, will also fill out an evaluation, and that's for your feedback to improve your skills. And so that's the majority of the requirements. And as part of the certification program, I do a monthly class with the counselors where you can, the ones who are in training or the ones who've already been certified, where you can ask me any question you like, challenges with clients, challenges with yourself. And the other thing that's actually included is I ask that you participate 1 year or at least listen to 1 year's worth of the Sacred Circle, which is my weekly spiritual counseling call, because that's very helpful. I cover so many issues, so many different kinds of people in there. It's really a treasure trove of spiritual counseling insights. So those are the basics of certification. And then once someone enters into the certification program, I will refer people who are in my classes, people who are in Sacred Circle, Masterful Living, Finding Freedom, which is hundreds of people, to, if they would like to have spiritual counseling, to try spiritual counseling, because many people are unfamiliar with it, that they can do a session with one of the trainees on a love offering basis, on a donation basis. So this provides you with many clients where you can practice and get your practice sessions as quickly as you like. Of course, anyone can have practice sessions with clients from anywhere. And many of the trainees do practice sessions with each other to help complete their training and to gain further insight and skill. So those are the basics of the certification program. And then once you're certified, I'll post and list you on my website and refer people to you, which is my pleasure. And and I invite everyone to just make a tithe back on what you're earning from referrals. And I don't set the amount of the tithe. I let you do that. But my goal is to train many people who would like to be spiritual counselors to help them live their calling and live their passion. I think, as we can see in the world, many people could benefit tremendously from being able to have miraculous healing work. And it might seem hard to believe that someone who just is starting out in spiritual counseling could participate in miraculous healings with their clients. But it is already happening with the trainees. It does happen. It's a normal part of the process. It is not something that's extraordinary. it is a normal part of spiritual counseling that people will have miraculous healings of all kinds. So I answered a lot more than you asked, Allison, but what do you have more questions?
No, like that's exact. I was, you know what? You answered everything I needed to know as far as, so that's perfect. Thank you. And I look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm trying to make it fun and interesting and beautiful experience so that for those who are coming for professional training, they're getting continuing education units, licensing units, so professional requirements can be met through taking this training, and we can help you with that. And so then you can have a wonderful, totally tax-deductible adventure in spiritual counseling. So thanks, Allison. And I see that we've got Philip raising his hand here. I'm going to unmute you, Philip. Hey there. Philip, did you have a question? It says Philip, phone number ends in 9844.
It's Rosalind.
It's Rosalind, of course.
thank you. You did a great job describing from your point of view the difference between psychological counseling and spiritual counseling. Could you go over some of the headlines of the skill sets, the topics that you teach spiritual counselors so I can get a feel for the different techniques that would be used?
Yes, I can. And you know what I'm going to do, Rosalind, is I'm going to open that up to some of the people who are at the intensive so they can also share as well.
Okay.
So anybody who was at the last intensive who would like to share on some of the topics we covered? Star 2 to raise your hand. Angela. Hey, Angela.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, you can hear me? Okay, great.
Yes.
I would say that the first or predominant skill I learned was opening myself up to hold space without an agenda. And by setting intention with prayer and really grounding myself to the moment and the person in front of me, staying open rather than even responding or linking my thoughts to what they're saying and starting to formulate my next, like what I will say and what I will do, but more just the really listening skills and presence.
Mm-hmm.
So that being one of the major things I took away.
So I'm just going to ask you, because some people, I get this question fairly frequently, what does it mean to hold space for someone?
So with when you center in prayer, I feel it grounds me and the other individual into a certain energy. So a lot of my calls are over the phone, so it's not even that I'm holding a physical space where someone's in front of me, although I do have some in-person sessions. I feel it's an allowance, it's an openness so that a person can show up and express and process their thoughts and feelings aloud without my judgment or without, again, my agenda. So I'm really just witnessing another person opening up.
Beautiful.
At it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's holding that space it's holding the energy with the person for the highest and best to unfold, for a miraculous healing to be revealed, for knowing the truth. Very well mm-hmm. said. Very well said. I'm going to see if Rosalind, do you have a I'm going to ask if other of the trainees who are on the call will share some of the topics. But, Rosalind, do you have a specific question for Angela based on that?
The question that it comes down to is when I was a psychotherapist, I felt entitled and very comfortable. And I say entitled because people expected it. For me to give my opinions, my feedback. And I don't know how that plays in with spiritual counseling. Are there times that you do or times that you don't, depending, or you never do, you kind of put it back on Holy Spirit? You know, I'm a little confused there.
That's a great question. Angela, do you want to respond?
Well, I respond as someone who's still learning. One of the things that as we evaluate our session, the first question when we're self-evaluating is, was the client able to identify the judgment or false belief they are holding? So when I'm holding space and I'm hearing a person set their intention to release a judgment or to further clarify some of their feelings around a relationship, I do feel like the block comes to the surface, and then I usually prefer to ask a self-inquiring question so that I'm guiding the participant, the client, to that self-discovery so they can walk away feeling that they have uncovered within themselves the answers. So a lot of it is a questioning at times, and sometimes I just reflect back what I'm hearing so that they feel I'm really present. But typically my I would say if it was a goal, I'm often guided to ask questions for them based on what I'm hearing so they can further open and deepen their sharing.
So let's say somebody is doing something that everyone agrees is out of integrity, including the person who's sharing. And they intend to continue on this pursuit. And you know that it's not in line with their wish to be in truth. Mm-hmm. Would you confront that and say, you know, how can this take you where you want to go? Would you be that direct? Or do you see what I'm asking?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's giving feedback even with a question, even in a question mode.
Right. I think this is such an important question, Rosalind. So I'll say, based on my years of experience, one thing that we absolutely do not wish to do is we do not wish to in any way judge our clients. And that can, be challenging. And it can be challenging to let go of thinking we know what they should or shouldn't be doing. But in that moment, when you're counseling someone, you have a very high intention to be in your heart and to be the voice of spirit. It is absolutely miraculous how the personal needs of the ego can fall away, and you really can be that loving, healing presence for the person. And because of that, they will shift and change in ways that are truly extraordinary in that moment. So everybody's normal ways, let's say, of talking and speaking and behaving shift in the context of that prayerful meeting of the two or more who are gathered. So that's number one. So number two, there is no set response because you're in the moment, and so there's not a strategy. There's not a technique that, you know, if this, then that. Because you really would like to be in that moment guided by the Spirit. So, and still, I think what you're saying about asking questions such as, well, what is it that you'd really like to have as your result? What's your end goal? And will these choices that you're making bring you to your end goal? That's a typical question that a spiritual counselor would ask, definitely. Does that answer your question, Rosalind?
Yes, except for the added piece of, can it ever work to be out of integrity to get to what it is you really want? Because that's what the person who's continuing to pursue this plan that's out of integrity for him to or for her to, but they're still wishing to get the outcome that can't possibly come out of that. We know from self-judgment that you can't get to joy and peace and love by cheating.
The ends is in the means. Always.
Say that again?
The ends is in the means.
Uh-huh, yes.
Yeah. Always. So
yeah.
if your way is disrespectful and unloving, the end will be unfulfilling. Yeah.
Yes. So would you then repeat that to the client? Or do you have the freedom, not would you, like a rule, but you have the freedom still in spiritual counseling to say what you just said, the ends and the means.
Yes, okay. And I would definitely point that out.
Okay.
Definitely
that loosens something for me because I can let go of judgment. But when the person's decisions are in their own way and they can't see it, I would want to at least point to it and then let it go if they continue.
Exactly. I once had a client that came to me. They were suffering mentally and emotionally. And in the course of the session, it became clear that they were blaming someone else for their upset and their problems. And so it became clear that forgiveness was what was being called for to have a healing, to be able to move on, to release the mental and emotional distress. Forgiveness was needed. So we got to the point where that was crystal clear. I reiterated it. I said, so forgiveness is the only thing that's really going to bring you relief here. Would you like that forgiveness support, now we could move into doing some forgiveness work. And the client said, no, I'm not ready to forgive. I said, so you're not ready to forgive even though you realize that it's causing you mental and emotional distress. And they said, that's right. Right now, I don't feel ready to forgive. I want to hold on to it. And so I honor that. I don't judge that. I've been
that's
there.
That's an opening in itself, to be that honest.
That's right. That's right. And to feel that I wasn't judging them because there was a higher choice they didn't wish to take. Because
I have been there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's been a question that's been there for me as far as the nuances of the differences. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, and let's see if we can hear from some other of the folks who went to the intensive, and if you would share some of the components of the, and I'm leaving you unmuted, Angela, some other components of the intensive that you, things that you learned that we covered. So if you raise your hand and I can unmute you. Okay, we've got Linda here, and then Elizabeth. Hey, Linda.
Hello, Jennifer. Hello, everybody.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. So some of the other components that we covered was a focus on healing ourselves in order for our clients to have a healing. And how that's all one. So as we were healing ourselves, we noticed that the other folks that were attending were also healing those same parts in themselves. Like when we were doing the one-on-one sessions with each other as a group in front of the group, you could see how each person was touched so deeply by the healing that those two people were having in the session. So it just, for me, it really helped me to focus on the oneness of how our healing is everyone's healing.
Mm-hmm.
So I try and, well, I don't try. I feel that when I'm doing a session with someone, whether I'm the counselor or whether I'm the client at the moment, how my healing is their healing and their healing is my healing.
Indeed, and it is. And one of the things I talk about in the intensive is how to work with the fact that when you start this, the majority of your clients are going to bring to you your issues.
Yes, definitely.
Have you found that to be true, that many of the clients come to you with your issues?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's interesting because when I'm the counselor in the session and I notice that, how it seems that I can be more open to receiving the answers of how to release those things than I am when I'm trying to do it for myself. Like, I can be more objective when I'm working on the love and the healing for someone else. But the answers are also true for me.
That's right. That's right. And one of the main factors, I had someone who shared once that they had been doing spiritual counseling. They also had been doing speaking and teaching, and they were saying that they preferred speaking and teaching, that counseling was less of their thing. And one of the things that I absolutely know is that my success as a teacher and as a speaker and a writer, so much of it comes from all of the counseling that I've done, because I have learned so much sitting with so many people. And I learned so much about myself, healing, how to heal my own mind, how to help others, how the mind works, how miraculous healing can be accomplished, and what's possible, where the blocks are. I've learned so much that I teach from because of counseling. So I highly recommend anyone who's interested in a career of where they're very interested in spiritual teaching, writing, and speaking, that doing lots of one-on-one work will really support you in having a lot more clarity. Yeah, thank you for that, Linda. That was great. We've got Elizabeth here and then Phil. So, Elizabeth. And I'm leaving you unmuted too, Linda.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth.
Okay.
Would you like to share something about what you learned at the intensive, one of the topics we covered?
Yes, one of the things that we covered that I found very valuable was the difference between empathy and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
It's important not to take on the issue that the client is raising. And most of us will probably have a high empath level.
Yes.
It's important not to take on the issue, but to switch into compassion, which is a higher vibrational area,
mm-hmm.
and everything from that compassion.
Yes. Yes. Compassion is a way of expressing love. It's loving understanding, and love is healing. Empathy is not. Empathy is more along the lines of, I feel your pain. I feel what you feel. So if someone's in pain, to feel what they're feeling It's not necessary, and B, it can just, then you've got two people in pain.
Right. Yeah.
It's not healing. But many people who are drawn to spiritual counseling and many people who are drawn to studying spirituality, like me, are extremely empathic, highly sensitive people. And so that's something that we learn, is how to sit with a client and not take on their energy. And
exactly.
Compassion is a tool. Yeah.
I'm still practicing with that. I'm still learning that. It was very helpful, but you pointed it out.
Right. Yeah, because it's a real issue for many, many, many counselors. And it's one of the main things that deters people, is they can perceive the clients as being people who are whining and complaining. And sometimes they are whining and complaining. And to be able to hold them in a higher space of love and compassion, that they just need to be heard.
Exactly.
And that, and being able to hear them from that loving, compassionate space, very, very often I have found that then they can feel complete with the story. But until that, they meet that loving, compassionate space, they will tell the same story over and over and over and over again to many, many people, and many of the same people over and over again, because they still haven't met that loving, compassionate space. And really what you're doing is you're helping them to find the love and compassion within themselves.
Now, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then that's where their true healing is going to come from, is the love. I've had so many clients that I sat with, they'll tell me things and they'll be very ashamed about it, and they'll wait for me to react in some way. And they'll say, well, you must have a judgment about that. And I can authentically say, I don't. I really don't. And it's healing for them. They can let go of something that they've carried that's been painful and shame for decades, and they can let it go in one session. For real.
The non-judgment that is so important, but it's so allowing the client to get to closure and completion with the story.
Indeed. And, you know, most of us, the non-judgment, it's a training. It's not something that we are easily able to do. We have trained ourselves, and we have been trained by people to be very judgmental. And as you know, oftentimes when people start Finding Freedom class or they start the Masterful Living class, they'll say, well, I'm not a very judgmental person. And then a few months in, they go, oh, my God, I'm like, when am I not judgmental? I wasn't judgmental.
And that's me exactly, Jennifer. I started Masterful Living in January thinking, oh, well, I'm not judgmental. And then all of a sudden it's like, boom, yes, I have a judgment and an opinion about everything. Oh, my goodness.
So it takes real attention and effort to focus in on that and clear it out. It doesn't necessarily take time. So sometimes it seems like it takes time. What it takes is it takes getting to that place where you're truly not interested in judging and attacking anymore, and you're really interested in the truth. So that's one of the great things about being a spiritual counselor, is you're training yourself to do it with every session, and you're helping your clients do it with every session, and the two of you are working together. So most people who will come for counseling are not expecting you to be able to miraculously heal them. They're hopeful, but they're not expecting that. And but they're hoping that you can really help them and have a breakthrough. And they have a belief that you probably can. Occasionally you'll get a client who is absolutely committed to, no one can help me. But I've had breakthroughs with those clients, so... And they taught me about my own mind and the rigidity of my own mind. Thank you for that, Elizabeth. I'm going to leave you unmuted, and Phil's raising her hand. So, Phil, I'm going to unmute you. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Jennifer. Thank you for accepting my call, and thank you for this powerful spiritual counseling. And I have to really say the highest technique that I have learned, and this is coming from the person who has been quite judgmental or did not feel comfortable doing it, is starting with the prayer and really setting that intention of connecting with our own self or with our higher self and connecting with the higher self of our client and trusting the higher self and allowing the higher self to do all the work during the session to guide us. And, you know, I, who is a coach, really recognizing that I do not have to do anything and it is being done is the highest skill. The skill that all our education and everything else, it surpasses all that because we are doing nothing. We are just holding that space connected with each other's divine self and just letting whatever to show up and allow the healing to happen without me interfering in the process.
Yes, and I'll say that that's not doing nothing. You know, it takes real attention to be able to do that. But yes, I know what you mean about not doing anything. It's not a formula.
Yeah, and that's what I meant. It's like really holding the client as resourceful and whole. And it's not just holding the client, but holding yourself and holding, creating that spaciousness.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been a professional coach for how long?
about 8 to 10 years.
Okay. And how much training did you have to be a professional coach?
Oh, it was a year long. Mm-hmm. I went through, the certification and everything. And, and, you know, and actually in my coaching, we always talked about holding the client as resourceful, creative, resourceful, and whole. And it was during the intensive, it made a lot more sense and meaning, gave meaning to me what that really, really means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And going back to your coaching practice, having done the intensive about 2 months ago now? Yeah. What difference has it made in your coaching practice?
Oh, I definitely feel a lot more connected with my client. And it's not just a lip service to holding them resourceful and creative, but really feeling that they are. And I feel like my coaching is a lot more smooth and it flows. And I'm listening from that deeper level. And the biggest thing is not focusing on the results, but focusing on who the person is and creating that awareness.
And is that getting any different result?
I feel a lot more fulfilled in what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel that, you know, even in my interaction with the client, I feel they also feel more comfortable with whatever is going on and are able to share a lot more. And It's you know, I used to feel like even when I was going into the coaching session, I would feel like, or I would say, trust this will go well. Now, you know, I say, let the perfection do what needs to be done here.
I love that.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
And it is really powerful in that I am not too concerned or not too focused on results, and it doesn't feel like I am doing it.
Yes, that's it. So the burden is lifted when you don't have to figure it out, you don't have to do it, you're holding the space and you allow it.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
That's what I found too, and as you'll remember, I shared in the intensive that when I first started counseling, I didn't have a bunch of practice sessions that I had done. So I was really like somebody just thrown into the pool and you have to learn how to swim while you're, you know. And a lot of times the first bunch of clients I had, they would bring issues to me that I'd never even thought about. All kinds of things that I just had never even considered. And while they would be sharing what their concern was, internally, I would be thinking, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I have no idea. So I have to turn it over. And so I would literally just say, you know, help me spirit, help me God, help me Jesus, help me angels. And then I would just get quiet and not be thinking about what to say, but just focused entirely on that compassionate listening. And then the insights would come, the answers would come, the suggestions would come, the questions would come, and over and over and over again, clients would say things like, what would make you ask me that question? I can't believe that, or I can't believe you gave me that example. I remember just what's coming into my mind right now. One time somebody said, I said to them, I said, well, it's like imagine that you weighed 400 pounds and then you had a life shift and you released that weight and then you had a totally different approach to your life. And after the session was over and they were walking to the door, they said, you know, I used to weigh 400 pounds. And this was someone who didn't seem to have an ounce of fat on them, you know. And I said, no, I had no idea. And they said, yeah, I used to, yeah. And I said, they said, I guess that you must have figured that out because why would you have said that to me? And I said, well, that's just spirit speaking. So one of the great gifts of doing spiritual counseling is you train yourself to be that receptive to insight, to wisdom, to clarity, to guidance. And then you can apply that in your own life. Are you finding that you are applying it in your own life more, Phil?
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know, I do feel every session I do spiritual counseling, just like Linda, I feel the healing a lot more. Of course, that is a little bit of a judgment. I definitely feel the healing for myself because it just keeps going, you know. And, yeah. And a lot of my clients say the same thing that I am struggling with.
Exactly. Yes. Great.
Yeah, so the work goes on. You know, it continues.
It does. It does. It's very exciting. Thank you, Phil.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm going to leave you unmuted, too. Yes.
Sure.
I'm going to leave you unmuted, too. And we've got Deborah has written in a couple of things. I see some more people have raised their hand, so I'm going to go first to Deborah, who says, can you charge a client or is it for a love offering once you're certified? And so, yes, you can charge your client. So I want to be clear here, and that is that I ask that if you're working with my referrals and you're not yet certified, that you do my referrals on a love offering. That way I can promote that and feel really good about promoting it as much as possible so that people will really make that opportunity to try out the spiritual counseling and to help the trainees to get their sessions done. Now, some people in the training program, like Phil, who just spoke, she's already a professional coach. So her own clients, she's going to charge them whatever she charges them. And that's going to continue as however she would like that to continue. So really, the love offering is just for what I'm asking for the clients that I refer to you from, the folks who are in class with me. And then once you're certified, we just certified the first counselor from the program, Reverend Rainbow Weldon, and she was already a Science of Mind practitioner when she came into the training. And she did the intensive twice, by the way, and she completed her ministerial studies right around the same time she completed the certification program. So all the time that she was in the training program, she charged her clients whatever she charged them, but the referrals she got from me, she did on a love offering basis. And then I am creating a ministerial program, or there are several of us, we're working together to create a ministerial program for the Power of Love Ministry. But that will be a separate program that will include some spiritual counseling training for sure as part of that ministerial training. But they're not... It's not a requirement to be a minister, to be a spiritual counselor. So, Reverend Rainbow, she completed her ministerial studies right around the time she completed her certification. And then Diane asks, what is the best idea for someone like me to attend, but I'm not a coach? As a personal experience, would this be a fit? So, I know we had some people at the last intensive who took it as a personal experience, but none of them are on the line right now. But for those of you who did go to the intensive last time, what would you say in terms of whether or not it would be a good fit for someone who just wanted to do it for a personal experience? So, anybody like to jump into that conversation?
I can answer Linda? That, Jennifer. Elizabeth.
Okay. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
I actually went to the retreat not knowing that I wanted to be a spiritual counselor. I went because I figured it couldn't hurt for me to be in your energy field for 2 weeks. And that could only help me. And I went with the idea of just allowing it to unfold. And I wound up taking all three of the retreats. And the most powerful one for me, although I loved all three of them, but the most powerful one was the first one, the spiritual counseling training. And by the end of that week, I knew that I wanted to be a spiritual counselor.
There you go. Yeah. I appreciate your sharing that, Elizabeth. And so everyone who's done the intensive so far has said that it was profoundly healing for them personally. And that's the intention that I bring to it, that you will have deep personal healing, whether or not you'd like to be a counselor, and you will become a profoundly better listener in all your relationships, in your workplace, and you will also discover things about yourself and strengths within yourself that you didn't know you had. And let's see. I know, Carla, you've had your hand raised, and then we've got someone in Washington's got their hand raised. Carla, would you like to share something? And then I think Linda had something to share.
You actually spoke a lot about what I was thinking, but let me just allow, because that's the whole key to me, allowing whatever unfolds in the session and to approach it with curiosity, loving curiosity. And that brings forth in the client and in ourselves things that can be healed without, I don't know how to do it. I just allow it to happen. And I'll have to say that I think I went to the retreat with the personal experience agenda. I thought I could be a spiritual counselor. I don't know how that can happen. But I just went knowing I felt guided in a way. I just knew I had to do it for my own growth. And it's really been amazing. I mean, it's still unfolding. It's still, I mean, it's my life. And I don't know. That was it. It's just, I think every session is a healing opportunity, and it's not just for the client. It's coming through me in a way, you know, as part of the healing, which comes from my questions and questions that arise in my mind. And it's just, it's so powerful. And I can't imagine, I just, you know, I never imagined what could happen for myself. And it's just been so amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Thank you for sharing that, Carla. Linda, did you want to share something about personal healing experience?
Well, I did have an amazing personal healing experience. I just felt like my compassion and my awareness expanded so much attending the spiritual counseling training, and it's like continuing beyond, like we're 2 months out from the time we did it, and I still feel like a snowball rolling down a hill. Like the healing and the awareness expansion and the compassion are growing and growing and growing, and I'm bringing up more stuff that, you know, more deeper stuff that is coming to the surface for healing, and I'm bringing that healthy detachment when I'm talking to people, and compassion. It's not even just in my spiritual counseling sessions, like you were talking about, like,
yeah,
when I'm talking to people in my family, when I'm talking to people where I work, you know, when I'm at the grocery store, no matter who I'm talking to, I'm bringing that compassionate listening with me. So I'm not taking off my spiritual counselor hat. It's who I am now. It's just who I am.
Yes.
And so it really, you don't have to become a spiritual counselor in order to have that experience that expands the amount of love that you can give and receive to people through the experience of the intensive.
Well said. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
It's the idea is that you would leave there feeling, having had some deep healing and feeling empowered, inspired, and motivated. And let's see, we've got Deborah who writes in, I'm not a professional coach, but I've answered the call from Spirit to provide my brothers with spiritual counseling using Holy Spirit as the counselor speaking through me and for me. Is it still okay to charge brothers and clients? And she also writes, I started the healing bridge guided by Spirit, and this is what I'm hearing. I had many fear thoughts. Thinking I have no credentials. I recently stopped working on my bachelor's in psychology, or psychiatry, it's just in psych, as guided. And I heard Spirit say, I am the only credential. And I think that's beautiful, Deborah. And is it okay to charge your brothers some clients? You know, I was interviewed once for a Course in Miracles movie that somebody was making, and they asked me the question, is it okay to charge for healing? And my answer was, I wouldn't know, because the only healing that I can do is on myself. And so I don't charge my clients for healing, but I do charge for my time. And so that's how I look at it. I am not the healer. I am is the healer. So Jennifer is not the healer. It's the I am presence, not my personality. And so I charge for my time, and I feel good about that. And one of the great things about being in the training program and doing some, at least some of your sessions on a love offering basis, is you really learn to open up a flow of prosperity. And because I've definitely had situations where people asked at the end of a session, they said, I don't even know what your rate is. What's your rate? And Spirit guided me to say, you can decide what you feel it's worth to you. And people have paid me twice my rate. People have given me large love offerings far beyond my rate. So there's a lot to be learned about the way God works, the way Spirit works, the way life works, the way spiritual principle works. And in doing this one-on-one work with people, we can learn so much, and it's so gratifying. It's natural for anyone to start this work to feel unqualified or underqualified. But God does not call those who are already qualified. God qualifies those who answer the call. So that's the thing that we're doing, is we're answering the call. The call to be of service, the call to be loving, to know the truth. And our willingness and our desire to be that loving presence makes it so. Now, I'd like to ask from the folks who were at the last intensive, and then we're going to wrap this up here. So if you do have any other questions, now would be the time to raise your hand or type them in. But I'd like to ask from those who are who were at the intensive to just share, in terms of momentum coming out of the intensive, how did you feel in terms of momentum coming out of the intensive? Anybody like to share on that?
I can share on that. This is Linda. I feel like a renewed sense of direction, a deepening of my listening skills to Holy Spirit. I definitely have felt a lot of momentum, and I'm really dedicated to doing it. I'm just doing it.
That's so beautiful. Nice. Yay. Angela, did you want to share?
Yeah, I was going to say similarly, just going to the intensive, you know, to take a week for myself, it broke my old pattern in general. So then as I came back, it was all about maintaining as best I could the high vibration of the food, the energy, the groundedness I felt. And I just so happened to have a lot more time open up. And like Linda, I just started doing it. And whatever I could do, I did it. And I asked friends for support. I have a website, you know, so things are falling into place. But definitely I felt the momentum, and my inner guidance was to keep that vibration going. So it was even setting the tone of my life and breaking me out of my robotic patterns.
That's beautiful. I'm glad to know about that. I think that's an important point as well, to shift the energy. And a week away, focused on developing your skills and talents and following your passion, will absolutely do that for anyone. Even if it was about painting, or if you give yourself that vote of confidence and invest in yourself that way, it is something that brings a momentum with it. And I had a question for you, and I could see a couple people raising their hands here. I just know it's going to come back because it feels important about gaining momentum. Well, I don't know. I guess we need to hear from someone else first. So I'm going to ask, Isabel raised her hand here, so we're going to see what questions she has. Hey, Isabel.
Oh, hi, Jennifer. I wasn't really calling with a question, but just to put in a little plug for your counselor, Elizabeth, because I've only had one session, but I just have to say, I had some reservations, like thinking, well, you know, Elizabeth's only had this 1 week of training. You know, what could she really offer? I had those thoughts, but I had a lot of other good thoughts. But I just want to say that it really, has been very helpful. The one session. Now we already knew each other because of Angela, kind of putting us together because of some common difficulties or challenges. So anyway, I just want to put in a plug that these people that you have trained, that they really have a lot to offer from that 1 week of training, whether, you know, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I feel the very same way. I really do. I feel absolutely confident in recommending them, and I hope that I know that they are getting their requirement of 111 sessions for the certification. They're getting them done surprisingly quickly, and people are making use of it. So, and if you are interested in that, you can go to the spiritual counseling page at jenniferhadley.com, and you can see the Reverend Rainbow, who's been certified, and then the other people who are in the training, some of whom you're hearing from today, and you can contact them directly and do sessions with them, and I encourage that to happen. And thank you so much for your kind sharing of that, Isabel. And we've got Phil raising her hand here. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Jennifer. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I just wanted to talk about the momentum for my own self, because
right.
When I went for the intensive, I did not go with the intention that I am going to be a certified spiritual counselor. I just went in thinking, you know, I want this for myself and just for, you know, for my own healing. And the more I experienced during those days, it became very clear to me that I wanted to get certified. And since then, I also noticing a lot more clarity, healing, and, you know, I'm also noticing a whole lot of my own judgments, and which is keeping me on the path, because I want to heal all of them.
Yeah.
So there is a huge momentum for me. It's not no going back, but just moving forward.
I love that. Yes. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that, Phil.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. We've got a couple of more things written in here. Allison says, are you working with any airlines or travel agents to offer better airfare rates? Not working with any airlines, but we are doing that research. So definitely be in touch with us before you book a flight, and we can compare notes. Definitely happy to help with that. And then Deborah asked, if brothers offer love offerings, do you have to report to the IRS, or how do you move forward with that? If you're charging for your time, should I make the Healing Bridge a nonprofit? You know, I think these are questions that you can talk about with your own financial advisors. So I made the move to make my ministry a nonprofit organization because I realized that my heart's desire was to train people and teach them and empower them to have a spiritual career as a counselor, a minister, a practitioner, a teacher, a speaker, a writer. These are all things that I'm doing that I have taught others to do. And that's really my passion, is to support those people stepping into those careers. So I'm interested in training people who can then they can do the spiritual counseling. I don't need to do the spiritual counseling anymore. I can counsel the counselors. That makes me happy. I can teach the teachers. That makes me happy. And I'd like to have teachers teaching in the ministry and not have me be the only teacher. That's what I'm looking forward to, giving people employment and where they can share their gifts and talents. So for me, that made sense to become a nonprofit organization. And so we're growing and expanding and serving more people. And many people who give larger donations like to be able to have a tax write-off. If they're just giving you a love offering gift, they can't really do that. Now, there's a difference between giving someone a love offering for they're just giving you a gift. People do give me – some people do give me personally. They'll say, Jennifer, I don't want to give the money to the ministry. I would just like to give you some money. And so they know that if they give it to the ministry, we're going to invest that in more free things and things like that. So they say, I would like to give you the money so you can do something personal with the money. So when people give me a personal gift like that, it's a personal gift. So it's in my accounting, but it's not income. I haven't earned it. It's a gift. You know, in a legal way, there's not really much difference between my friend gives me money, my family gives me money. People give me money sometimes. You know, my dad sends me a check on my birthday. That's a gift of money. So, but there is a difference when it's for in exchange for services and services rendered. And in that case, I definitely declare that as income. So, right now, all that I earn as a teacher, a spiritual counselor, it all goes into the ministry. And then I draw from the ministry, and that's how that works for just if anybody's interested. And, all right. So I think we've answered everything. And obviously, this is a very deep topic. There's so much that we could share about it. And so to be clear, there's the Spiritual Counseling Certification Program, and then there are the intensives. You do not have to be participating in the certification program to attend the intensive. And we've had a number of people who were certified coaches, psychologists, social workers, family therapists, people who have their own counseling or therapy practice already or coaching practice already, ministers. You can all come and take this to expand your skills. Professionals usually need to have continuing education or licensing units to keep their license up. And so we are putting the pieces in place to help you do that, and we can work with you one-on-one to help you do that if you'd like to come to one of the intensives in the future. And anyone can join the certification program at any time. The first piece of it would be to join Finding Freedom. Would be one of the first stages you could do if you just want to start dabbling. And we're working on a program where people can take Finding Freedom and get CEUs for that as well. One other thing I wanted to mention is following up. If you're in the certification program, I do a once-a-month class where you, like I said, where you can ask me any question. We also have what we call a community call once a month with the people who are in the program, so they can talk with each other and compare notes with each other. And so those community calls are another wonderful opportunity to get support and feedback. And it's a beautiful community of like-minded souls who are all interested in knowing spirit, living a loving, powerful life, being truly helpful, and awakening to the divinity of all life, and having fun. So that's one great thing is at the intensives we've done so far, everybody is lovely. We have a great time. We have lots of fun. We take breaks to have fun, to get massages, to laugh, to watch movies. And so it's an intensive, but it's also it's a fun time where you can really come back feeling invigorated into your life, as folks have shared. So I'm going to say a prayer to close us out, and I would also like to say a very special thanks to everyone who joined and shared. That's Carla and Linda and Elizabeth and Angela and Phil. Thank you very much for taking the time and showing up. I'm sitting under a tree at a picnic table here with my laptop. I love my life, and I'm interested in having the opportunity to share with you how to build a life and a career, a spiritual career that you love and is deeply fulfilling and bringing benefit to others. And I just, a white spider, just sat down beside her here. So that's fun. All right. So I'm going to say a prayer here and invite you to place your hand on your heart and take a deep breath of love and gratitude with me. So grateful and so thankful that we can do something new. We can try something new. We can share something new. So grateful and so thankful that we can open our hearts and open our minds to infinite possibility revealing itself in our life, in our career, that we can and we are saying yes to being truly helpful. So grateful to know that everyone who listens to this call, anyone who participates in these programs is a blessing and they are blessed. Knowing that their life is a blessing and that they go forth in this world being that blessing. So grateful and so thankful to open ourselves to receive from the infinite spirit all that is ours to receive. We share the benefits of our healing, our expansion, our awakening, our gifts and talents with everyone because we're one with them. In deep gratitude, we allow the healing to be, and so it is. Amen. 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 Yes. That was interesting. A white spider. I never saw a white spider before. I love you. Thank you for showing up. And may you always feel blessed.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, everyone.